Today I speak to Mike Campo, originally from the USA. He has lived in many countries and now has been staying in Taiwan for quite a while. He is a linguist and has worked as a language teacher. He learned and mastered many languages himself. He conducted years of research in language learning, which led him to establish Glossika, which we will be talking about today. It publishes language learning courses based on a mass sentence method that we will also get into today. And also, Glossika is about to have a major update, and we will also get into that today. Mike, welcome. I'm so glad that we can have this.
Yes, thank you for having me on the show. I'm Michael Campbell, and broadcasting from Taipei, Taiwan.
Awesome. And we started talking about this already before recording. Let's get first into the principles of Glossika, and which I think is especially interesting is instead of learning vocabulary, you start learning sentences with the mass sentence method. And how does this method work?
Well, first, how to speak a foreign language and building fluency really is based on full sentences. And the reason for that, we can pull examples from many different kinds of languages, from Asia, from Europe, but we can easily see this in that if you only memorize single words or vocabulary, then you're not actually getting the practice of declining, or you can say declination, declensions, mm-hmm. and the conjugations and all of the ways that the word is used in the language. So if you're learning a language that has heavy declensions, for example, Greek or Slavic languages, and to some extent, you know, there's a little bit in Romance languages, but more in Latin. When you go to these languages, you end up, you know, is it better to memorize a whole chart of endings, or do you actually pick up on the speaking patterns of a few common phrases and you learn to apply those kinds of endings based on a few phrases that you've mastered, and then every new vocabulary that you learn that matches that pattern just falls into place. It is actually very similar to how a small child learns to apply the pattern, mm-hmm. the patterning to all new vocabulary that the child learns. So you'll find that in a lot of languages that, you know, there's no such thing as a singular door in Polish, you know, so why learn all of the singular declensions for door in Polish if it's never used in real speech, because mm-hmm. this word just happens to be plural, mm-hmm. like trousers in English.
Yeah.
There are certain cases, the case in the declensions where certain cases are impossible for a lot of vocabulary words. So memorizing whole tables of things and even memorizing vocabulary in that way means it's kind of dead. It's not coming to life. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you need to put it into sentences, into the conversational context, and at that point, everything comes alive. And you can break the sentences down into smaller pieces, you know, smaller phrases and chunks of the language, and then recycle and reuse those chunks again and again in larger sentences. And that's primarily how Glossika is built. And so the whole thing that drives Glossika is the syntactic structure rather than a vocabulary structure. Mm-hmm. So we believe that when you have mastery over, let's say, a subject and a predicate adjective or a predicate noun. You know, maybe you would say, I would like to be a teacher someday. Well, now the teacher is a predicate noun. If you're speaking Russian, you have to use instrumental case. But why memorize instrumental case when you can just say it and it comes out naturally? And then the next time you hear somebody say, I want to be a doctor, you hear them use the exact same pattern. Mm-hmm. And so that becomes a pattern that you're used to for the predicate noun. And so you don't even need to know these fancy words. You don't need to know that that is a predicate noun. In fact, Glossika delivers you that content in an environment that builds those patterns automatically, mm-hmm. without you having to think about it. And so you, first of all, you get the grammar built in a natural speaking way. You get the native recordings because it's all audio based. And you also get the vocabulary, any new vocabulary that is coming up, you learn it from context. Mm-hmm. And so when we go to Asian languages in East and Southeast Asia, you have a lot of languages that are context dependent. So they don't use conjugations and declensions, but they will use a completely different vocabulary word based on this meaning, mm-hmm. on a specific meaning. You know, so there's a good example in Chinese. For example, when you say in English, I do magic, we can consider this as a collocation. To do something like magic, we only have the word do in English. But in Chinese, you cannot use the word do. You have to use a special verb that goes together with the word magic. Mm-hmm. 变魔术 is the way you say in Chinese. And instead of using the word do, which is 做, you use the word to create this magic, which is 变. Mm-hmm. So this is a very interesting. If you said it the other way, people just wouldn't understand what you're saying. And so these collocations of how words go together in the sentence, it's in one way, it feels like you're memorizing a whole sentence, but we don't like to approach it as memorizing anything. We are only getting you exposed, and you're getting, for example, you're building a muscle memory. You're creating a patterns and habits, good habits for saying these sentences in a natural way that native speakers will understand you.
Mm-hmm. So it works especially well for languages that are far away from the grammar structure of my native language, because for a German speaker that learns English, those patterns won't be as different as if I learn Chinese, for example. So this works really well for if the language is really different from the one that I speak natively.
Well, I think that there's also a very big challenge between German and other languages, particularly because German has quite strict word order, mm-hmm. which creates a way that Germans think in a specific way. And so when learning a language like English, or even French, you know, even very close languages, it can still be a challenge for people that are not able to switch out of that that word order context. And so when you get the, and I think this is especially important for people learning German or for Germans. Now, of course, English is a Germanic language, so it's quite easy to make the jump. But for those who have difficulty learning English, then it's important to get everything in full sentences where you're learning how to reprogram the brain to think in this new order. Mm-hmm. And this is only one order of many that happens in the world, so it's a good start. But in fact, you know, I think you'd be surprised that Chinese actually uses a lot of German word order constructions with verb movement to the end of the sentence and these kinds of things. I only really thought of that in retrospect. It's like later I realized, wow, this actually has the same order of German in some cases. Yeah, it's quite interesting, and you don't realize it at first.
So this works by basically translating, instead of translating words, you translate sentences, and then you learn the corresponding sentence, like you listen to this, the translation, and you read the translation. Is that how it works, the mass sentence?
Yes, method? Yes. And the reason why we found this very effective, and especially with extensive testing for Chinese students learning English, is that because of collocations in both languages and the way that we express ourselves, the choice of vocabulary can be very different in different contexts. So for example, if you were to translate everything word for word, it would just become absolute nonsense. I mean, it's like very early stage Google Translate, mm-hmm. or some other service at, you know, 10 years ago. So you would say, what is this garbage? You know, this is not English. And a Chinese person would say, this is not Chinese, mm-hmm. looking at the translation. So it took these computers a long time to really pick up on the natural flow of the languages and provide better translations, even though they're still far from perfect. It's come a long ways, but part of the challenge there was actually recognizing different phrasings between languages, mm-hmm. and then having the machine learning pick up on how those phrases actually work between the languages. So what happens is when we're learning a foreign language, we have to kind of separate our thoughts from the way our own language puts us in a box, and we have to kind of step outside of the box and think about, how do I break down this concept semantically? And I mean by the meanings of what I'm experiencing in this world, in this environment. What am I experiencing here? And how do I break it down semantically and then rebuild those semantics into the foreign language that I'm speaking? So between German and English, and even between Russian and French and Italian, all of these have a very low threshold of variability. I would say that between all the European languages, it almost feels like they're all dialects of each other, just in terms of expression. Now, the grammar and all this pronunciation is going to be very different, but it almost feels like Europe is just one big language in terms of the way people express. Mm-hmm. But when you step out, now, people will argue with me and say, oh, well, Spanish has all of these great, you know, sayings and proverbs are completely different than French. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but go learn Chinese and then you'll find that there's a big world of difference. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of similarities between the European languages. So with when you learn how to rebuild everything semantically and express that in your foreign language, then you sound more like how a native speaker would be expressing the idea. It's really hard for us to recreate that with just simple sentence translations, but we can get close. Mm-hmm.
And is there no learning of vocabulary at all? Because like if you only learn sentences, then is it possible to start creating language? Like how soon is it possible to start creating my own sentences and not be bound by the sentences that I learned through this method?
Well, we like to measure everything in terms of repetitions. And in English, we can use a smaller word, which is just reps. And so we can measure every sentence that you practice, we count it as one repetition or one rep. And so when you get to 25,000 to 30,000 reps, and that's quite, you know, that can take some time depending on the person. But if somebody's doing 500 reps every day, it's possible for them to reach this this threshold in a month or two. So when you reach this threshold, you will start to feel some sort of fluency coming out. And for some people, it happens earlier. I mean, if they've had earlier experience with the language or they've already memorized a lot of vocabulary, they may only need 5,000 to 10,000 reps and they will start to feel like, wow, I can start using this. Mm-hmm. The other thing about vocabulary is that if you're getting on the airplane and you're at the airport, you're getting ready to get on the airplane and the woman asks you, would you like a seat in first class or economy? And you hear the she's speaking Italian, it says La Turistica. And then you can just make the assumption that, oh, economy means La Turistica. And you can say La Turistica andrà bene. And, you know, in something like this, you can respond immediately and you can learn this vocabulary directly from the context. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this is a really powerful feature because you may not have known that word before, but you can deduce what that person is saying just from the context. And you can actually respond to the person and say, ah, la turistica andrà bene. Mm-hmm. And you can use it directly in response. So this is fun because I have found that most of your language learning happens in real life just having these interactions with people. And a lot of the vocabulary that you remember is from the environmental cues that happen around you and the vocabulary that you pick up on your own. It's not forced to you, but you actually pick it up from context. And I found that one of the most powerful things in language learning is awareness. When you are aware and you become aware of a certain fact or a truth, you're more likely to remember it forever. Mm-hmm. It's like awareness has an extra nervous reaction in the brain, you know, and the synapses they fire more or something, you know, and builds long-term memories. Mm-hmm. It's a really good thing to happen. So instead of the teacher telling you, oh, remember this A, B, C, D, and you try to memorize it, but if you just experience it, it's a completely different result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very interesting. I totally agree. You have to learn in context and like to learn isolated vocabulary and isolated grammar rules and then trying to stick it together all, it doesn't work as well as learning everything in a context.
And may I add one more thing?
Yeah.
I think that a lot of people may get confused by this word fluency. I'm not sure which word you use in German. Beherrschung or?
Fließend.
Or do you use, huh?
Fließend, the same word.
Fließend. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you think about the word fließend, it's something flowing, it like mm-hmm. water, right? Yeah. So this idea of fluency means flowing, mm-hmm. like water. So when all of your words and your sentences come out flowing, then you are fluent. And so what is the confusion that most people have? they think level C2 is fluent. But what does C2 really mean? What does B2 really mean? I think it means mastery of vocabulary. But let me ask you a question. If you go to speak to a six-year-old child in any country speaking their own language, would you say that that child is fluent or not?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The thing is, you can build fluency quite quickly. Like, you don't have to master every single subject in this world and be able to speak it until, and right. then only you're able to say I'm fluent, but you can be fluent within a week or so if you just focus on a specific topic.
Right. So if you ask the six-year-old child in any country, yeah. what were the economic indicators for GDP growth in your country last year? The child is going to say, go ask my daddy. I have no idea. Yeah,
exactly.
But they can answer quite fluently with the words that they know.
Yeah.
So if they don't know those words, then they would just say you're crazy or something.
Yeah.
So the idea is that fluency, it has less to do with the amount of vocabulary you know, which I would call is expression. How strong are your expressive skills? That has to do with your vocabulary and mastery mm-hmm. of vocabulary. But the fluency itself is actually easy to attain. You just need to go through a few hundred patterns and work on those patterns and build it up. And you know, to keep it interesting, we can add more vocabulary as you go along. And that's kind of what Glossika does. So mm-hmm. You get a basic set of vocabulary to work with. But along the way, you get to the point where you can learn any new vocabulary word and you'll have hundreds of sentences that you can now apply it to, because you'll just have something to plug it into. You can put it into any structure that you want to express. So the fluency gives you the mechanism, whereas the vocabulary, any vocabulary you learn in the future, is just a tool for conveying your meaning. But at least now you have the mechanism to do it. Mm. The one thing I hate is when I, especially in Asia, people have very weak skills in foreign languages. And so if they see I'm a foreigner walking into the restaurant, they might come up and they will just start asking me one-word questions. The problem with one-word questions is that there's no context. You're not really sure what they're asking. So they might look at you and say, water? And you say, well, sure, water would be nice, but I would also like a meal. But you can't say that because I don't understand what you're saying. So all you can say is yes, water. And then they, you know, and then it just, this conversation goes on and on and on with just one word vocabulary. And they might say something like happy, like you mean you or me mm-hmm. or my friend. Yeah, I'm happy. Are you happy? But you know, I've had a lot of these kinds of experiences. I don't mean it's exactly happening in restaurants, but I've experienced a lot of these kind of situations mm-hmm. and I find it's easier just to switch to their language in this kind of
situation. Of course.
So the problem with one word communication is that it's really horrible.
Yeah. I'd like to get back to a topic that you mentioned, which was reps. And you said 25,000 to 30,000 reps to reach a certain degree. And I would like to ask you, what do you exactly mean by reps? Like, how many phrases I repeat, or is it 25,000 phrases, or is it like 5,000 phrases times five?
That's the idea behind the mass repetition method, is that it doesn't have to be 25,000 different phrases. Mm-hmm. You would have wanted to do at least 10 repetitions of each sentence in order to build up some amount of fluency of saying that sentence. Or mm-hmm. let's say, for example, I'm learning this new sentence. If I had a sentence in German, maybe I put my German to use right now.
All right.
So if I were to say something like, die Sonne hat geschienen und die Vögel haben gesungen. Mm-hmm. But if I were saying it, die Sonne hat geschienen, geschienen und the Vögel, Vögel, and I'm struggling with the sentence. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not fluent, right?
No.
So if I'm going to say it fluently, then I would say it all in one breath. And so I might need 5 to 10 repetitions in order to get that better and better until I can say, die Sonne hat geschienen und die Vögel haben gesungen. And then you understand what I'm saying and it sounds fine and I can move on to the next sentence. You see what I mean? So it might require more, less or more reps for it, for each sentence. But from that sentence, I learned something as well. I learned how to place, use the past participle in the sentence and its position in the sentence. I also learned that it's geschienen and not, I mean, geschienen and not geschienen. And I, you know, if, you know, I can learn, you know, sometimes we get confused as English speakers, the IE and the EI, or as you call it, EEA, and the spelling. Maybe I forget the plural of Vögel and I make it Vögeln or something like this, and it doesn't sound right to you. And so there's all kinds of little things in there that I can actually acquire from just practicing the sentence. And it sounds more and more natural to a German person. Now, so, I may not use this sentence in real life, but it, it's actually teaching me a lot of other patterns that are very important.
So I would have to say sentences in general 25,000 times. Doesn't matter how many different sentences, but like until I feel comfortable with them, and then I have some level of mastery in the language. Is that?
Well, I think that the 25,000 is kind of just the first level of fluency where you start to feel changes happening.
Okay.
You really start to feel something happening here.
And how many sentences do I say per day? Like how long does this whole process take?
Well, actually, like you mentioned earlier, we are now launching our new site that actually builds all of this tailored used, tailor-made for all of the users. So for example, if you may not have enough time in the day, maybe you're busy, maybe you don't have time to figure out what sentences I'm supposed to work on today. Well, we have built this artificial intelligence that will actually figure out what is best for you. So with a minimum amount of input, for example, you say, well, I can start off with maybe default of, you know, 10 or 12 sentences per day of new sentences. Our system will build up all of the review and the repetitions for you in the right amount. Now, with minimum input from you, we can actually figure out whether these sentences are too easy or too hard for you and then prepare more sentences that are more in line with your level. So what we set up is a session. And so this session will have, it will rotate through all of these sentences appearing on the screen, but you can also turn it off. You can turn it on your cell phone and put it in your pocket and walk down the street and do all of the training just by audio. It's fine. At the end of the session, we will just ask you for some basic feedback, and then we will prepare the next session. The next session will have these sentences you just practiced and the sentences before that as review in the next session. And so we organize all of these review sentences in a new order, in a new spaced repetition order that is that helps build your memory for them. And you know, like I said, we're not really focusing on memory, but we're focusing on the fluency. So it really builds up your fluency. And then you will have another set of new sentences in that new session, which will also get rotated back into review in the next session. So as you see, with all of these new sentences that get placed into your session, they also have similar patterns. And if these patterns are already something that you can master easily, then we'll give you new patterns. And so the system adjusts to your learning speed. And this is only available on our new system. We have about 50 languages available now on that new system, on that new platform. And yeah, so I invite everybody to come take a look. You can come give it you can come try any of our languages for free on there. And some of the minor languages, we have new Celtic languages coming out, also available for free as well. So, yeah.
Awesome. And I have a question about the patterns. Is that like, could that be translated to a grammar rule? Like meaning I learn one particular grammar rule or the resulting sentence from that rule, and then maybe another pattern would be something in the past or using another grammar rule? Is that what you mean by pattern?
Yes. If we look at it from the point of view of a linguist or an academic person in university studying linguistics, then there's a science that is just called descriptive linguistics, which means that we observe something in nature and we describe it, mm-hmm. what we observe. So we observe languages and how they actually are spoken in real life, and we make deductions of what rules can we come up with that describe what is happening in these languages. So if I come back to the past participle in German, well, I never have to look at a grammar book to make a final description. I could say, well, I noticed that all of these words, they have a GE at the beginning of the word. Nobody has to teach me the rule for me to recognize that, right? And so that's easily recognized in the language. And if you go look in a grammar book, of course, you'll see that description as well, with all of the kind of various rules and maybe exceptions to the rules as well. But, you know, if you've learned enough vocabulary, you probably also can come up with lots of examples of, you know, exceptions to the rules. Hmm. Or you'll find words that just don't fit the same pattern as other words. But all in all, I think that most people who are just staying aware of what they are practicing, and they have that same will as a small child does. Like, I want to communicate with people, and so I'm trying hard to speak and communicate with people, and they don't feel bored by it, but they want to communicate, then they will always be aware of these things, and they will learn it, and they will recognize the, you know, all of these little intricacies and nuances and differences between vocabulary. It takes some time, but I think that as adults, with this kind of a system available now, we can learn much quicker than small children can, because mm-hmm. we have a much bigger capacity for understanding and of the world around us.
Yeah, I agree. I think with that understanding, it's actually possible to learn a language quicker than as a child. And most people don't recognize that. They think, oh, I'm older, I can't learn a language anymore. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily true.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But if I think that with age comes some problems, for example, it seems harder to remember things.
That's true.
Well, there's a workaround for this, is that if you know, we say that the muscle, the tongue is a muscle, and that if you move this muscle enough times in the same patterns in the same ways, then your tongue remembers the vocabulary and the sentences rather than your brain. Mm. So if you say something enough, it also be, you know, some people, they have this habit of saying something too many times. Is there a word for that in German or in English? It becomes their,
I don't know,
their habit, this word or habit. Like some people, they would say a lot.
Oh, filler words.
Yeah, but not just filler words, but sometimes people have these set phrases they would say. Like maybe I've noticed some German, they will overuse the word also.
Yeah, you could still
or
call them
English
filler
speakers may overuse the word like, you know. Yeah. So in Chinese, we would call it a kototan. It's we refer to this this bad habit that somebody has when they're speaking. Mm-hmm. So in this case, this is kind of like a muscle memory that it could actually lead to become a bad habit for certain words, but you can use that as a good sign for actually learning good word, you know, good words that are good for your new language. You know, if you keep repeating them a lot, then it becomes part of your repertoire of vocabulary that you're constantly using. And so I think there are a lot of language learners and polyglots out there that have a small number of frequent repertoire sets of phrases they use over and over again, without having to expand to a very large vocabulary. And they seem to get by just fine, but maybe they are only using a language in a limited context as well. Yeah. So it's also kind of like a way to hack the language, you know, with minimum ability, with minimum amount of expenditure, you can actually get quite a lot of you can gain quite a lot of expression with just a few phrases. That's true. But we tend not to focus on just memorizing a few set phrases in our program.
Yep. And I know that, like you always say, that Gloska uses a different kind of spaced repetition. And can you get into that and why you think that kind of spaced repetition is more powerful?
Well, first of all, you can go on online and read in a lot of different places about these spaced repetition systems that focus on trying to remind you of something when you've almost forgotten it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
I like to argue against this whole idea quite intensively, just because I believe that if you trained it well enough in the beginning, then why would you forget it later? Why would you need to be reminded? Mm-hmm. So not to say that you will ever forget it, which is why we still have review built in. But I mean, I don't feel like you should be reviewing something a week later or 2 weeks later, or just because you're forgetting it. I feel that you should train it well enough in the beginning so that it becomes something very natural for you to use, and that you may need to be reminded of it later, but it won't be troublesome or hard to recall at all. Mm-hmm. So the main point here is that the next time you hear somebody use it, you can both understand and also use it in your own speech without a problem, without having to be reminded. You know, our system is based on what we call sleep consolidation, which is what happens when you dream at night. And every night, your brain is actually very active, and it's consolidating everything that you've experienced throughout the day. And the things that you experience throughout the day, if they are linked to something that you have done previously before other sleep consolidations, this actually triggers the brain into thinking, this is something that is that I've seen before, I've done before, and it should be weighted a little bit heavier with importance. Mm-hmm. And in that case, your brain is putting more emphasis on this specific item. There are several ways we can add anchors in the brain. We can add, you know, sight and smell and all kinds of different senses to the things that we experience. So this is a very strong way. It's very hard for us to do through books and maybe apps and computers, but at least we have two things, which is the visual, the text and the audio. As time goes on, we can add more visual imagery as well. The next thing is that if you separate each of your practice sessions by one sleep session and you do that continuously, then I feel that this is, you know, for example, five continuous sessions of the same material. This is much stronger than saying I do one on Monday and then I review it on Wednesday, and then the next one is 3 days later on Saturday, and then 4 days later on Wednesday, and then 5 days later on Monday or something like this, you know. And then, because with every lengthening of that reminder, I feel like it's becoming less and less likely that you are going to remember it. Whereas if you did more intensive review of it up front in a shorter amount of period of time, you actually master it much, much, much better in that shorter period of time. So I can master something repeatedly for 5 days, and I never need to review it again, because mm-hmm. I know it.
Yeah.
I don't need to come back to it 2 weeks later. But the way that Glossika is built is that those same patterns will show up, but they will show up in different contexts, in different sentences. And, you know, the same patterns will reappear and reappear. So it is reinforcing it. I just feel like the spaced repetition has a better way of being built. And that is what we've built. It's exactly what we've built.
So that would mean that instead using the classic spaced repetition system, you would repeat things 5 days in a row and then it's consolidated? Or how would that look like in concrete day numbers or repetition numbers?
Yes, they're repeated 5 days in a row. Mm-hmm. That's true. But the material is always changing every day. Mm-hmm. It's on a rotational basis, so you don't feel very bored by it. Mm-hmm. The amount of time required for each of those days, it depends. And it also depends on where it is in the algorithm. Mm-hmm. And maybe the feedback that we've received from the user. So our new algorithms are actually much more smarter than our older ones with our book publications, now that we're moving everything online.
And by online, you mean the artificial and the AI
platform? Right, ai.glossika.com.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about this. And so you have those sentences repeated in the browser. How does this work exactly with the new Glossika?
Well, when you first log in, you can choose any language that you want. All of the languages are available to you. So for example, let's say I choose, I don't know, Chinese, Mandarin. Mm-hmm. And you have two choices. You can choose between the Beijing Mandarin or Taiwan Mandarin. They're very slightly different, but they're both very easy to understand once you've learned one. You go in and then you can choose, there'll be a few questions to see what kind of level you're at. Do you understand the sentence? And if you say no, then we'll probably start you off at the beginning. If you understand the next sentence, we'll start you off somewhere in the middle, you know, and so on. So it's kind of to place your A1, A2, B1, B2 levels. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you can choose a number of topics. So if I choose like, okay, I only want to use this for basic conversation and travel and service and restaurant and food, and maybe airplane, you know, okay, so accommodation, I can choose those topics. And then I won't see any sentences regarding any other topics. So I kind of filter out only the things that I want to focus on. So this is great. The next thing is I can choose how many new sentences I want to practice in a day. Now, a lot of our new users, they don't know what is appropriate. Our experienced users will know that if you increase the number of new sentences to 20, you're going to end up spending several hours on Glossika every day. It's a lot of work because of the review, the amount of review involved. But if you start with the default 10 sentences or so, you'll be fine. And I like to keep a lower number because I tend to practice a lot of different languages every day. So, and I'm kind of inconsistent. I'm not exactly the best person to learn from. I don't always take my own medicine the way that I tell people to do it, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of the things that I'm doing is just testing a lot of different things. And I understand so many of these different languages that I never really achieve much level in them anyway. But anyway, I go and I set my settings to something like, I don't know, between 5 and 8 sentences. And I do maybe like 5 or 10 different languages and test things and make sure that everything's working okay. That keeps my sessions much shorter. So for the person who does want to practice a lot of different languages every single day, I would say use a smaller number of sentences to start. And then after that, you just hit start your session and you're ready to go. And then you'll get the sentence. So we'll have a German version coming out very soon, but you'll get the sentence right now. It's in English. And the target language below it, and you can see these languages, and then you can change the transcription system on it. So for example, if you're learning Chinese, how can anybody read the Chinese characters, right? If you've never learned Chinese before, even from the beginning, what are you looking at, right? So you can just open up the settings and you can change your transcription. We offer about 10 different transcriptions for Chinese. They're kind of interesting and fun to play with, but you can explore. We have a Pinyin, we have a IPA, we have romanization for Russian and Hindi and all these other languages. We have Tashkil for Arabic, you know, a lot of things you can try. And then maybe that you find the sound is going way too fast. The recordings, you can slow it down. You can add more space before and after the sentence so it becomes tailored to how you like it. Mm-hmm. And then you can turn on the recording function. And in the recording function, we also have chorus. Chorus, of course, we know it means like singing along with a choir. But what this means is that when you turn on the chorus, you will hear the native speaker say it during the recording, and you are saying it along exactly the same time as the native speaker. Mm-hmm. But on the cell phone or on the computer, we black out the screen, so you can't see the original sentence, and you have to say it without reading it. And we believe that this is a very, very important feature, because when you're reading something off of the screen or from your book, it's not as effective as repeating it from memory. Even though that is just a 1 second memory, it still makes a very, very, very big difference in people's ability to speak fluently. What they'll find at first is that it's really, really hard to repeat the sentence. And with it pushes you through a uncomfortable zone, and it pushes you to like a higher level of comfort zone. So you're pushing yourself to a new level. Mm-hmm. And so when that becomes comfortable, and then you can say these sentences without reading them off the screen, you actually have achieved a new level of fluency already, and you're making great progress. And you'll see your reps numbers going up. You'll have 150, 300, 500 reps, and you'll actually start to feel tiny little pushes and changes. And these are great. But it's when you hit the 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 reps when you start to feel a massive new something growing inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it gets really fun. Yeah.
And that's ai.glossika.com.
Yes.
Very cool. I will definitely try it out. It sounds very interesting. And is there anything else you want to add to your new software?
Yeah, I mean, we're still in private launch. So you may run across a few issues that we're still trying to figure out and fix. But otherwise, everything works really well as it is. Some of the issues that we're working on is just we want to display the languages people are currently working on and show better progress reports and things like this. But all of the technology behind it and the algorithms are working great. It's ready to go. So go ahead and give it a try. And the we're adding more languages. And if you ever find a mistake in any of the languages, you can just hit the red flag and we'll have somebody on the back end, you know, take a look and get that fixed. And it'll be up and running very soon. So, I mean, the system, it really improves on itself. Even though we have people working on it, it almost feels automatic and magic. So, and we're always adding new content to it. But something we couldn't do with our old books is that maybe a sentence was not available in a specific language. I remember we had a hard time translating subway into Swahili. So I think we went with the word metro, as commonly used in Europe. Because a lot of Swahili speakers are also in Europe, and so they would just adopt the word metro. But in some cases, we really do run into problems with vocabulary, like how do we translate this into another language? And so the new system allows us to use sentences that are native to that language rather than sentences we're trying to translate from English. And so we can build a lot more, a bigger sentence database in there that are more natural for that language, language speakers. So that's the really great the greatest advantage of it.
All right, very nice. I'm excited to try it out. I'm sure the audience is as well. And yeah, so thanks so much for joining.
Questions? If you have any other questions, you can always find us in our online discussions, Facebook Glossika Discussion as well.
Okay, and Glossika Discussion as a Facebook group, is that it?
Yes, we also have the fan page. The group, whatever Facebook calls it, the Facebook group page. But if you really want to stay in contact with us, I would recommend just signing up for our newsletter subscription. You can get updated news from us. And if you are a native speaker of German, we're also looking for people to help us out on the German side of things. We need more recorders. We need more translators for all of our upcoming content. And we also need people that want to get involved with Glossika on the site. And, you know, once we start sending out newsletters, we hope that we can achieve this in German as well and many other languages. So if anybody in your community is interested in getting in touch with us, contact with us, that's great. We would love to hear from you. And we welcome you to get involved with our community.
And that's at glossika.com. That's where people can get involved.
Yes, yes, yes. We'll be launching a new homepage to our website very soon. I don't have the exact date, but I think it's within 2 weeks from our speaking today.
So it will be online by the time this goes online?
By the time you go live, it may already be online. That's true. I think we're still working on some places where people can get involved, and we have an associates platform for people to start help, you know, working with us on the back end with all of the different languages. So we welcome your community if they're interested in getting involved to contact us.
All right, great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Michael, for joining us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.